Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you won't mind, help us keep the show free, the Monday through Wednesday free episodes free. We work really hard to do that. But if you could, please fill out a quick five-minute survey, anonymous survey, no email addresses required, nothing like that. Just a quick survey telling us a little bit about who you are that listens to our show. Go to podcast.study, podcast.study, no .com or anything, just podcast.study. Fill it out, takes 5 minutes, and it helps keep this thing free. I greatly appreciate your time doing that. 5 minutes is all I ask. Just fill it out, be done. And you probably do it in 2 minutes if you're quick with clicking. Podcast.study, and thank you in advance.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That, indeed, it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. You can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com if you'd like to record it on your mobile device and send it that way. Lots of ways to get the stories to us. Social media, we're all over that. Our everybody, listeners, chatting about the stories and all that on Facebook at Real Ghost Stories Online. Search for that. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram, lots of creepy photos I've been posting there at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat, you can follow us there as well at Ghost Podcast. Lots of fun stuff. But I've been putting a lot of creepy things on Instagram lately.
Well, yeah, we've been a lot of creepy places.
It's great. Yeah, I'm trying to think, what creepy places have we visited since our last broadcast or since our last recording of a show, which was about a week ago? Thursday was the EPP, so Wednesday was when we recorded the last.
Yeah.
This.
Well, Thursday we went on the hike up the back road and saw the picnic table.
Yeah, an abandoned picnic table, which doesn't sound like much, but it's a pretty creepy photo.
Yeah.
That's up on social media if you want to see it on Facebook.
And then Friday we went and got adventuresome and made it all the way to the old stone post office.
Yes, we got, we went up in the woods. There's a town around here that is like kind of just off the map. I mean, it doesn't really it's a ghost town.
It's a ghost town, and we talked about it a couple of times.
And we know it's nearby. We didn't know exactly where, because some of the places you had read about it online put it in a different location.
Well, the maps did.
Yeah, and so Jenny was scouring Google Earth and found a rooftop. Just kind of in the woods.
It's off an old metal rusty rooftop. And there's no active roads anywhere near it.
Yeah, but obviously there's a structure there. So we're just hiking with the kids, just kind of where we normally go. And we're looking on Google Earth. Like, well, according to this, it's like right down that way. Not far, a little bit of grass to get through. But so I say, you want me to just, you know, to walk down to the edge of this field and see if there's like a path or... And like, well, yeah, want me to go do it? Okay, sure. And I thought Jenny was just going to get down to where we thought the there might be a path after this little field of, you know, tall weeds. And she gets down there, and then she just keeps going.
Well, I grew up hiking, so I knew. And then I thought, well, first of all, two thoughts. I didn't want to drag you guys down there if it wasn't worth seeing.
Sure.
And second of all, I wanted to make sure if it was worth seeing that it was an okay path to take the little ones with us.
Yeah, and safe, and it wasn't like no trespassing signs and stuff
so
like that.
So I just cut across this field, get a little bit into the woods, and then realize, oh, the path is actually over there, and it's an old road, like an old stone road.
Yeah.
And so I just start going down it and come across four deer, and they take off. So I knew that nobody else was down there if these deer were that close and being quiet. So get down there, come around this corner, and there's this old stone post office, which I'd seen photos of, but was not expecting that at all to be. I thought, best case scenario, we find an old rundown barn or shed. And I thought, well, that'll make some good photos for the show.
Yeah.
Found the town by accident.
Totally. And it is creepy. I mean, this road number one is bizarre because it's just, there's nothing by it.
Yeah.
And you're in the woods. Everything's kind of grown over, but it's been so beaten down over the years, and it's stone, so not a lot's going to grow over it. And you can just take it, and then you start to see semblances of what was once civilization, just foundations and like little rock retaining walls and stuff. It's like, what the hell? And then suddenly you come to this opening, and then there it is, and it's a big structure, just to be there, and it doesn't have the feel of a post office because it wasn't supposed to be a post office. It was supposed to be a church.
It was built as a church. So, and then the town's post office was burned down by the postal assistant when he was accused of tampering with taking money orders.
There you go.
So he burned it down. And they thought, well, we've got this church for the five of us. The town literally had five people living within it. And they thought, well, they had one funeral in there. They thought it made more sense to use it as their new post office.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting their mail was, you know, more of a priority.
Yeah.
And there was another church in the area, an old, old log church. And so that's where most of the people ended up going.
So this building, I mean, if you didn't know what it was, you'd be very confused. But because on the outside of the structure, looks like an old church. By the way, the windows are lined out, and it's very ominous and creepy. And then you walk through the door of it, and I got pictures up on Facebook if you want to see them. Then it is odd because it's like, well, wait a second here. Because then there's like a teller window that's still there with a big metal grate over it where you would talk to the teller and they could slide things underneath. And the desk is still there, and it's the window. But it hasn't been used for like 50-some years. And it's all falling apart, and it's just, it's one of the creepiest things I think I've ever just kind of come across wandering through the woods.
Yeah.
It's like what I've always wanted to find, wandering through the woods. It is certainly more than unique. But what's interesting around here is we're finding so many of these stories of these little homesteads or little buildings or this building or that building where there's remnants of it still existing.
Mm-hmm.
And these roads that are in existence that were like wagon trails and horse trails that really don't have any true way to get to other than hiking into the woods to find them. But they're still like there. They're used by deer or ATVs or sometimes just nature has, it was too difficult for nature to retake it. Because of the rocks, but creepy as hell. We didn't see any ghosts, if that's what anyone's wondering if we're going to get to.
You found an arrowhead, and I would not let you bring it home.
I did, and I have always wanted to find an arrowhead. I've been looking for an arrowhead my entire life since I was wandering around as a kid around Black River Falls in Wisconsin. And like, oh, maybe we'll get an arrowhead today. Nope, no luck. Found an arrowhead on that walk. Picked it up going, is this what I think it is? Yep, put it down. Now, do it. Put it down. I held the arrowhead for all of like 3 seconds. And it's back on the path.
There were, hostilities between the Native Americans and the settlers back in the day around here.
I could imagine that,
like,
sure.
On this land. So okay. I just don't want to take a chance if that's gone through
a person,
Billy Bob Hillbilly, and that's where its final resting place was.
Yeah. It was real because right next to the arrow, we found a femur. And I'm kidding.
No.
We did find some,
they were deer bones.
Deer bones, yeah.
We're going with that.
So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear a ghost story now. Hi.
Hey guys, I'm Chaz. I really love your podcast. I'm actually planning on becoming an EPP member very soon. And I wanted to share one of my stories with the paranormal. I hope you guys enjoy one of my stories here. So this story happened to many people I've researched online, but slightly different in mine. It all started in a dream of mine, and I was dreaming, but it wasn't a normal dream. I had my eyes open, weirdly enough, and I was dreaming at the same time. I know that's weird, but yeah, so I was in my bedroom at my old house in Grace Lake, Illinois. But anyway, I was very tired the day before. I guess sleep deprivation could do this to you, but I know I was dreaming. I know what I was dreaming had influence on me. That's how I felt, anyway. So a little backstory for the story begins with me and all my close friends. We were in mourning recently because one of our very close friends in our group had died before this paranormal experience even began. So anyways, I was dreaming with my eyes open and I couldn't move a muscle. I started getting these like dreams or visions of my room, my doorknob. The door to my room was shaking violently. Like it scared me. So I got up and I started calling out the name of my dead friend. I was scared and panicking in my dream. I got up, and once again, this was the dream, and it wasn't like in the physical world, so I couldn't move my body, but in the dream I could. So I got up in my dream and I tried holding the door and the doorknob down, like putting my weight of my body onto the door to prevent whatever was on the other side from coming in. Also, I couldn't breathe. It felt like I was being choked, like my breathing stopped, and it felt like I was being choked. I kept calling my friend, my close friend that died. I kept calling his name, like scared. I just saying, Alex, Alex. And all of a sudden, the doorknob just stopped shaking. So I opened the door, and it was like a man dressed in an all-white suit and a white hat as well. And he told me to stay asleep and that everything was going to be okay. I didn't know what to think of it or feel, you know. But suddenly my breathing came back, and I started twitching my toes, and that's how I wanted to, like, get my body to wake up. Like, yeah, so I tried to wake up so hard, like, I eventually did, but scared after I woke up, but at the same time, I was relieved, and also, like, I couldn't recognize the man that was in my dreams that told me to, you know, stay asleep. Like, he said everything was going to be okay, but I couldn't recognize him, but he had, like, a white glow around him. It was weird, but I felt safe around him, weirdly enough. It was very comforting. So that's one of my stories, and I just wanted to get your guys' input on my experience. My friend who died might have been the guy I saw in the white suit and the white hat and the white glow around him. Because, yeah, before he died, he acted strange, but, like, in a good way. Like, he was so full of life and happy, and he always wanted to, like, help other people. It was very strange. Anyways, thank you for listening to my story, and I'll definitely become an EPP member. I encourage other people to. This podcast is amazing. So, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll follow up on some more stories I'd like to share with you guys in the future. Okay? Thanks. Bye.
I honestly don't think that was probably the friend, for the reason that he didn't feel his friend's presence. He felt a presence that was not threatening,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't feel like his friend. And more often than not, when people have a visitation like that, they feel, they can't tell who it is, but they can feel who it is.
Why do you think it told him just to stay sleeping?
I don't know.
I wonder if there was something where it was like, look, if you wake up, you know, it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, whether it be being awake or to the state of, what word am I looking for here? It's not coming to me. It's
conscious?
No, it's where the dream state we talk about all the time. I had
sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis. Yes, okay. It was just not coming to my mind. whether it could have possibly been that as well, where, look, you open your eyes or you wake up, you're not going to fully wake up and you're going to get freaked out by what the hell you're seeing around you. I wonder if it was just kind of a warning like that, like, just stick with us and we'll be done soon, you know?
Yeah, could be. Do you agree, though, it probably wasn't the friend?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think sometimes that you're going to be able to sense who that is a little more definitively, and it's not necessarily, I think, it might have been. It's like either it was or it wasn't, and if you're kind of leaning towards it, I'm not quite sure, probably wasn't.
No.
So. Thank you for the story. We do appreciate that, and I'm sure you will love being an EPP. If you guys want to become EPPs, you sign up to do that on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go over and another caller. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. It's Patrick. I've called before. I listen to your show every chance I get. And I just wanted to give you another story of mine. And it's weird. I don't know how to explain it correctly. And I know that sounds weird too. And so that's really why I would love your guys' input on it. I'd love to hear it. But it was, it's about a dream. I guess you'd call it a dream. And you'll see why I'm so hesitant to call it that later, but that I had. It was my freshman year in college, and I was still living with my parents. And usually we can talk about our dreams together. We love to do it when we wake up, you know, and on the weekends, and we sit around the table and eat breakfast and, you know, tell our dreams that we had the night before. But this one, I just have trouble talking to them about it. I've told my dad, though, but it took a while. And what the story behind it is, it was late one night, and I got home, got done with my schoolwork, and about midnight, I decided to just crash, go to bed, and I guess where the dream really starts is I'm sitting in a room that's in my house, and it's right down the hall from my bed. It's, when I say right down the hall, it's extremely close. You could really just take a couple of steps and get there. And but in this room, there's in real life, there's a tall mirror. It's about 6.5 feet tall. It's a full body mirror that's sitting catty corner in the room. And in this dream, I'm sitting down and I'm staring into it. And I remember it well because there's moonlight coming in and it's illuminating the room just enough to where I can see things and where I can kind of see my surrounding. And I'm just sitting, staring at this mirror, and where I don't know how long I was there with these kind of things and dreams. It's like, who knows if it's, you know, 5 minutes or, you know, it feels like forever, though, that I was sitting there staring at this mirror. And what kind of made me go lucid, I guess, is I was staring at this mirror, and I almost felt like it was an eye-opening thing that looking into this mirror sitting down, I couldn't see my reflection. I couldn't see anything in this corner of the room, but I knew I was staring at the mirror. And so I get up casually, and I walk into the kitchen, avoiding the normal logic of turn the light on in the room. I just go into the kitchen, and I grab a flashlight, and I come back into the room, and I flip the flashlight on, and I point it at the base of this mirror, and the flashlight lights up everything around it, but I can't see anything in this mirror at all. I can't see anything but black, like there's a black mass there. And so I remember lifting my flashlight up towards the ceiling gradually, and ceiling's about 8 feet tall, and what scared me so bad was is I can't see this mirror, and I'm lifting the flashlight up, and I get up to the ceiling of the room, and right underneath it is this black mask kind of culminates into a head and shoulders. This just shadow man, this gigantic, about 8 foot tall shadow man is just occupying the space in front of me. And I flick the flashlight off and I instantly try to run away and run back to my room. And you know how dreams go when you're in that fight or flight mode in a dream. Sometimes it just feels like you're made of lead. And as I try to run, it feels like I'm almost getting nowhere and I'm running in slow motion. And this thing was almost pulling me, and I'm trying to just my hardest to get back to the bedroom. And that's where the dream ends. I don't even remember what happens after that, except me trying to run away through the hallway. And I wake up the next morning, and usually when I have a nightmare, it's like, that's weird. Like, and then I go on about my day, and that's what happened. I woke up, and it struck me as scary, and I was like, well, okay. I don't know what that was. That was creepy. And so as I go to get up out of the bed, I lift the covers up, and that flashlight is laying right next to my leg. And that moment is what really scared the daylights out of me. It's probably the most ominous thing I think I've ever experienced in my relatively short life. And I really don't know, like I've said, I have a hard time qualifying it as a dream, because in the end, it doesn't seem like it, but there were so many parts to it that just felt like I was dreaming. I don't know in reality how long I was actually sitting in front of that mirror, but it felt like forever. And what scared me, besides the fact that there was this tall shadow man in the room right in front of me, was the fact that I was sitting in front of it for God knows how long, and it felt like almost like violating, because I'm not a sleepwalker. I sleep next to my girlfriend now. We have our own place, and I've lived with my parents, and I've always been out like a rock. I don't move when I sleep, and so it's weird for me when I think about it that I somehow, never before in my life have I ever gotten out of my bed when I've slept unless I've been awake, like completely coherent. And I just walked into that room in this half awake, half asleep state, and I sat down and stared there at this thing. It's the creepiest thing I've ever had happen to me. And I have trouble telling people about it. And we've had people go in there and sleep in that room before, but afterwards. And, you know, when we have guests over, we'll put a blow-up mattress in there, and I can't tell them that. Like, I can't tell them that because I don't want to scare them. I can't tell them that because I feel like I'm crazy, and I really don't know how to describe what my state of mind was. But I'd really love your guys' thoughts on it. I just don't have words, but I'd love to see if y'all do. Thanks.
Do you think that spirits can cause you to sleepwalk?
I think in some cases, yeah. I think it's almost anything's possible there.
I just wonder if maybe that's what happened, because I was all on board that this was just a terrifying dream mm-hmm. until he woke up with the flashlight in his bed next to him.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely, obviously, more than
sure
more than a dream.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could certainly influence you to do that. I I don't think, I mean, then you start to wonder, well, if it's helping, if it's making you do things like that, does that like go borderline onto like, is it like possession light?
Or possession like.
Or diet possession?
Diet possession.
Yeah. Everything used to be light before it was diet. I wonder what's going to be next.
Fat-free possession?
Yeah, exactly. No sugar added possession.
So you mean just kind of.
Enough to take you over, but not to completely take you over. Like you could snap out of it.
See,
if you tripped.
That's where I wonder if maybe something isn't really possessing you, but can still lure you without you realizing it.
Yeah. I think that there's an element of that. And then if it's given into unconsciously, then you can kind of become, you know, like the vessel for it.
It sounds like something that we haven't really had that many calls about.
Yeah.
It's kind of a combination of everything.
It's a diet, fat-free, no sugar added, light possession.
Okay.
That's.
So it's like a possession you can not feel guilty about.
Exactly. It just makes you feel good at work.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us, even if it does involve a sugar-free possession. Let's go over here and do this call. Hi, you are on the program.
Hey, Brookies. My name is Leah. I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina. I'm married into the military now, so we're kind of all over the country. And because of that, we travel a lot, and we absolutely love listening to your show. It gets us back and forth across the country all the time, so we really enjoy it. I've been wanting to call in or write in for a really long time now, but I'm always just kind of scared to touch on this subject just because I feel a little bit overly sensitive to these kinds of things. And anytime I listen to podcasts too much or watch too many shows or movies, I always seem to start waking up at about 3 a.m. every night. You know, just waking up and not out of a nightmare or anything, but I just wake up and, you know, it's a very strange time to wake up every night. So, but I'm actually on my way back up to Virginia where we're stationed right now, and I was listening to your podcast and I thought, what the hell, I'll just go ahead and call in. So, it's kind of a long story. I'm going to say it as quickly as I can. I am a little background. I'm a nurse, and I started my nursing career down in Charleston, South Carolina in a hospital. And one of the floors that I worked on was on an oncology unit. And so, you know, we were taking care of very, very, very sick patients. But I really learned what it is to be a nurse there. And one of the experiences I had, I can't give too much information, but a little quick background. He was an Oriental man who had a very advanced stage, quick moving cancer. You know, once you're diagnosed, you don't last much longer afterwards. So we were caring for him for a while, and it worked its way through his body so quickly. By the end, he was, you know, maybe 90 pounds soaking wet, so extremely thin. But he had so much support from his wife and his son. Neither the patient nor his wife could speak any English, but their son was there and was able to translate for us. So whenever he wasn't there, I actually really enjoyed working with this patient because I kind of was able to take my time and be patient with him. Even though I did not speak his language whatsoever. So he just took a lot of extra time and effort. So I got to know him and his son really well, and I just absolutely loved them. And, you know, sometimes in healthcare, you can just tell, you know, that it's coming down to it, that, you know, they're not going to live much longer. Well, I ended up having to go on vacation. And in my head, I was like, man, I'm gonna miss it. I'm not gonna be able to be there for when he passes, for that family and stuff. But, you know, maybe it's a better thing that I'll be gone, because it would be really hard on me. So I left for vacation. A few weeks go by. I come back and he's still there. And my coworkers jokingly said, oh, he's been waiting for you to come back. And so I kind of pick up caring for him again. And this is the first night that I come back to work. I forgot to tell you, I work night shift. So I'm working with two other nurses. It's about, I would say, like between two and three in the morning. You know, everybody settles down and we're starting our charting. The lights on the unit are off. You know, it's quiet time so patients can sleep. Well, we're sitting there, and the emergency call bell goes off, and I go running past the call system, and I look at what room it is, and I'm like, there's nobody in this room. And we took off running down the hallway, and my two coworkers are in front of me. One runs in the room first. The other makes it partway into the room. I hit that doorway, and I was like, I am not going in this room. Again, there was no patient in there. And whenever there's not a patient in the room, we always have the lights off, the doors are open, but every light is off in the room. When we hit this room, every single light was on. We couldn't figure out which call bell was going off, and I really couldn't enter the room. And I was like, guys, we need to get out of here. So my back worker sees that in the bathroom, the cord for the call bell had been pulled all the way down, which that's, you know, it's not exactly, it doesn't take a strong arm to do it, but it does take some force to pull it down. You have to click it all the way into place when you reset it. So she ended up doing that. We turned off all the lights and we exited the room. And keep in mind, the room that was empty was right next to the man's room that I was telling you about earlier. So all of us honestly are so freaked out and just so uneasy. We called our nursing supervisor, let her know what happened, and we were just like, this isn't right. So we go back, we sit down, we start charting again, and then the call bell to the room of the Oriental man I was telling you about earlier was going off. And I mean, he, at this point, he was so out of it. He was so weak. I was like, how the heck is his call bell going off? You know, his family wasn't there. He's so weak. There's no way he would really press it. So I go down there and I check on him. I'm getting to the room and I can see in. He is shot up out of bed, sitting straight up, which this man was so weak, he could barely even feed himself. I mean, he was pulling his gown off. He was pulling out his IV. He looked totally freaked out. And this was minutes after, you know, like what had happened with the emergency call bell. But he looked totally paranoid, freaked out, like something was totally wrong. But I couldn't understand what he was saying because he didn't speak English. Well, so I run over to him and I crouch down next to the bed and I'm just trying to calm him down by like, you know, holding his arms, holding his hands. And he kind of grabs my hands and looks me in the eye. Man, I never heard speak English before. And then he points around the room and he goes, I see. And I see them. I know. And I, myself, stopped and I was like chills down my spine. And I immediately just felt, I was like, we're not alone in here. I didn't say it out loud, but I looked around the room, and I didn't see anybody, but you could feel it. We weren't alone. And so I calmed him down as best I could, and I got him settled, and then I sat in his room with him for about 45 minutes, and I just told my coworkers, hey, can y'all watch my other patients? He needs somebody to be with him right now. So I just sat with him, calmed him down, and eventually, you know, he went back to sleep. After that, I went out of the room and just continued the night, and I just remember thinking, what was that? Well, so come to find out a little while later, I talked to the family and stuff, and we kind of found out their religion, and apparently, and this was after he passed, he ended up passing, I think, either the next day or two. And in speaking with the family and stuff, we somehow found out their religion because we needed to know about the services and stuff and kind of what to do with his body and how to help preserve him and stuff. So the family told me the religion, and then I was interested, and I looked it up, and apparently in this religion, when a family member is passing, ancestors from that family come to that person and kind of are with them while they're passing, apparently. That's according to this religion. And so in my head, that had to have been what he was seeing in that room that night, and me having that feeling like we weren't alone, and then everything that happened with the emergency call bell beforehand. I mean, in my head, I think of it as maybe they were trying to get our attention somehow to get down there and be with him, or I'm not sure exactly, but I would absolutely love y'all's input, hear what y'all think it might have been. It is still something that, you know, it doesn't necessarily scare me, but it was one of the most intense moments of my life, and I honestly do believe in spirits and things of that nature. I'm a Catholic, so I believe in a whole lot of that stuff. But I really love your input, and I hope y'all are having a great day, and y'all take care and look forward to hopefully hearing this on the radio. Bye.
It's y'all day at Real Ghost Stories Online, by the way.
It is.
I've noticed it on a lot of calls today, the word y'all coming up. And
that's okay.
That's fine. It's just like it normally pops out to me like once or twice a show, mm-hmm. but it's like every caller almost a couple of times. And like, okay, cool.
Wow.
What is the northern equivalent? You guys?
I guess.
Well, you guys. Yeah, it is.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like Goonies. Hey, you guys. Anyway, continue.
You know, we hear that often about loved ones seeing other people in their room with them before they pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of that can be attributed to a medical condition, but a lot of it, I think, sometimes is unexplained. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that several times. I think sometimes it's more than just the body giving out and seeing things that aren't there.
And I don't think it's always necessarily something that's necessarily attributed to a specific religion or another. I think this is something that happens regardless of what religion you are. If at the end, this is how it goes, and that seems to be how it goes quite often, where people start to see dead people.
Yeah.
And of every religion that this seems to happen with, and I think it's just more like this is what it is. This is what you get. That I think is part of it.
I agree.
Irrespective to what the belief system is. It's just, mm-hmm. guess what? They're back.
Yeah.
You know, and there's probably more to it as far as who's back, why they're back, or who's going to help you across. That probably has something else beyond it, but it just seems to be that is a key part of a lot of this. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. A quick one, hi.
Hey, this is Jessa from Atlanta. I just have a real quick one for you guys that I thought was really funny. My parents live just down the street from a pretty large cemetery, and my mom plays Pokemon Go. So one night, her and I went through the cemetery and picked up, there's like at least 4 Pokestops inside the cemetery that are like little monuments and stuff. And then there's a gym inside the cemetery as well. So we claimed the gym because it was empty. And the next morning she texted me and was like, oh my gosh, the gym's already empty again. And somebody else claimed it. And I was like, darn, okay, that stinks. I just went back through because I'd stopped at their house, and I figured I'd do a little round of picking up some Pokeballs and whatnot. And the gym was empty again, so I put a Pokemon in there and continued through the cemetery. And by the time I got to the other side of the cemetery, there was somebody fighting my Pokemon at the gym. Funnily enough, though, there was nobody in the cemetery besides me. There were landscapers on the other side. Like I said, it's very large. And there's like a little man-made lakey pond thing. They were on the other side of that, digging holes and such. And so besides those landscapers, there was just me. So I don't doing it, and they ended up emptying the gym as soon as I turned the corner to leave. I didn't go put my Pokemon back in there. I didn't think it was worth it. But I thought you guys would find it funny. Even if you don't put it on the show, I hope you and Jenny get a laugh out of it. So thanks, guys. I love the show. I'm an ETP, and I have a ton of stories to tell. I just need an icebreaker, so hopefully this one is it. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Can you bring ghosts with you if you pick up a Pokemon in a haunted location, like an Arrowhead?
See, I interpreted it more as a ghostly version of get off my lawn, don't play Pokemon here, I'm going to keep taking your damn thing out of the box or whatever.
I just love the terminology that's used with this game that people just kind of start using a second language as if everyone understands what it is. I mean, luckily, the terms are not crazy where it's like, what the hell did you just say? You can kind of, even if you're not playing, you kind of go, oh, I think I kind of understand what
you
they meant.
You get the gist of what was being what was going on. And the fact that nobody was there to take it, that I just kind of feel like it's like, no, you're not going to play Pokemon in a cemetery, so it's just messing with you to get you to go away.
So you let them go too? I don't know how this all works.
I've not played it. I'm sure I would love it if I did play it, but I have not.
No, you wouldn't.
Made time
to do
that.
What the hell is this shit?
Right.
You probably throw your phone at somebody.
I have the urge to throw my phone at least once a day.
Without Pokemon.
Yes.
Thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It would be fun if you could do I guess it really kind of comes down to what it is you're capturing in the game. Now, I have zero interest in capturing a Pokemon. It was never that kind of popped up after our younger part of childhood. I remember it showing up like towards, you know, like teen youth.
Yeah.
But I could have cared less by that point. Maybe if it was something that was like big when we were like six, I'd have more of an affinity to it as an adult. I'd have none. If there was like a Walking Dead augmented reality app and you could like walk around and then, oh shit, there's a walker down this alleyway, I would be all about that shit. I would be going, you'd have me everywhere.
You
like,
would
doing
stab
the,
something in the head by accident trying to kill a walker. Or you'd get a knife stuck in a tree.
That's a great idea. I wasn't even going on the aspect of you need to stab the things. I was just like, you capture them on the image of your phone. You're thinking like somebody's walking around with a knife. But that's a whole other, maybe like, you, I don't know, what would you use? Because you would inevitably, if you have people walking around with knives, like stabbing the air, and then they'd be like holding their phone up and like people would be like stabbing their hands accidentally. It would be a mess. It would be a lot of stabbed hand injuries.
There would be some kind of problem with that.
That's why you just, maybe you use your phone. Your phone is the stab. It you know,
you just see people walking around acting like they're stabbing
with their
phone.
Phone. Yeah. That's what you do. That would be an awesome app. That would be so much fun. I would love to take that like on walks and that would be fun. That would be creepy.
You didn't
fun.
Like the one that made our house look haunted.
That was creepy shit.
Like you would really enjoy a zombie one.
That one is a little more, I don't know. I mean, the one that I forgot what it was called, but it was an augmented reality and you walked around your house and you're supposed to do it in the dark. And I did. And it just uses your flashlight. Mm-hmm. And it is eerie. I don't know. I can't imagine like doing it with, you know, like the 3D, like the Google, the whatever, the VR stuff.
We sound so old anymore.
I know.
When we talk about technology.
If I'm playing the Atari 2600, you know, I don't know what's going to happen when my Pong paddled, you know, but it was scary. It was like they had thunder because you're supposed to use headphones. So that's the only audio you're getting. And that's a big part of the experience. And you're just focused on your phone and you're holding it up because it's like your flashlight and that you're looking around. So that's where you're focus is, and then you see like lightning and thunder, and then you hear weird radio noises and all sorts of shit, and then eventually like weird pops of light come out of other parts of the room, and it all like perspectively makes sense on the video or the screen you're watching, and you're in the setting. And then eventually, and I haven't gotten this to happen yet, but I've seen some videos where suddenly like a big skeleton will pop up right in front of you. And I'm glad that hasn't happened
yet.
That's
your ultimate nightmare.
Oh, it would have been. It would have been. And I would have been going and getting, you know, the extra roll of brawny paper towels and cleaning up my mess.
Oh, that's gross.
After that happens, so.
Okay.
If we're low on paper towels. You're like, Tony, we're playing that damn app again. Yeah, I was. Yes, I was. One more call. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Jenny, and I am from sunny Salinas, California. The story I'm going to share is a story that had happened to my family, which is, you know, my mom, dad, and family members, as well as close friends. So there is a mass for a funeral. It was in Moss Landing, California, at a Catholic church for my dad's brother's wife's younger brother that passed away. At the time he passed away, he was 17 years old. And the priest was speaking at the podium, and he actually changed his gown because he was sweating profusely. And he came back, and all of a sudden, everyone in the church saw a flash of light at the ceiling. And the priest, his eyes rolled back, and he fell flat on his back. And everybody ran his aid, and he was speaking in tongues. And my mom understood because she took classes for Latin, and she said that he was speaking the words of the devil, and his facial expressions were demonic, very demonic. The aura in the church from the get-go was sinister. At that moment, everybody just started running out. His body was moving just so inhuman. And the candles that were lit went out themselves and just started just falling and breaking. And everybody ran out. The ambulance were called, and that's all that everybody knew from there. And when my parents got home, I'll never forget, my dad is a very skeptical person, and he did not sleep. He was very frightened. And till this day, there's times when he brings it up, and he never forgets that. He says there's sometimes it's just in the back of his mind, and it really scares him. That's my story, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Sounds like a lovely dinner theater.
Yeah, that's just terrible.
What was the setting?
I think it was a church.
God.
I think it was a church. I think it was a priest or pastor or the religious figure that had this happen.
It's like,
who do you call when it happens to them? Because that's who you call when it happens to you.
Ghostbusters.
No. No, Ghostbusters are not going to fix that.
Everybody's just pretty much screwed at that point. That would make a believer of the paranormal out of pretty much anybody. That's, wow.
Dinner theater. Good job, Tony.
Well, I had to walk to the other side of the room for 2 seconds, and I came back, and I missed like 10 seconds of the story. I knew it was a church, but I thought, oh, what a hell of a dinner theater play. That'd be a great one. You know, like murder mystery, possession mystery.
Oh.
Where you're sitting there, and everyone's just enjoying some quail and mashed potatoes. And suddenly, like, one person is either choking on the asparagus or they're becoming demonically possessed, and you're not quite sure, because at least there'll be at least 2 choking incidents in the night, and one will be possession. You got to kind of, like, lead people to believe there's something bad going on.
That would never happen because nobody likes quail.
Quail's delicious.
Quail's terrible.
I had quail a couple weeks ago.
It tastes like Roadrunner. It is so gamey.
Have you had Roadrunner before?
No, but
well, then you can't
like
compare the two.
It tastes like a bird that kept running and running, so that's why I said that.
Quail are tiny.
I know.
They're just tiny little birds of a flock.
I wish our listeners could see what you were just doing to show me that it was a tiny bird. Tony was just now a tiny bird.
Quail, I had it the other day at the restaurant that's not a real Outback Steakhouse, but it's called Outback. And they grilled it, and it was not very meaty. I mean, there's not a whole lot to a quail. But it did taste, it was bursting with country fresh flavor. Get you quail next time.
No, I'm not getting quail.
There you go. We've learned a lot in today's episode. What did you learn?
That you can make little fly like a bird flaps.
You've always known that.
I've always known that.
That was known that. It's one of those things that first attracted you to me.
No, like, not at all.
I think I learned that you can tell one hell of a possession story in 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That was a good one for being so short.
It was.
It's like, holy shit. All right. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like Real Ghost Stories Online, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. to do just that, to keep us on the air. And there you go. You get that and all the bonus episodes of our program. 130 some of them right there for your listening enjoyment at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.